A little bit of the Eagles right there for you. 17 minutes before 5 on WCCO. It's Friday, so we're going to let it out just a little bit as we talk about some interesting things in the news and try to connect a few dots. Al Gore, along with the IPCC, wins the Nobel Peace Prize, the first time in my memory and perhaps in history that the Nobel Peace Prize has been awarded on environmental grounds alone. And times they are a-changing. Now, certainly it has divided a lot of people in their thinking about what is the right way to approach this and whether it should even be approached. There are certainly enough skeptics out there to fill more than a handful. And they seem to have the ear of some members of Congress. And I don't know if it's obfuscation that has caused the division, but it has seemed to divide itself along political lines. It seems that more conservatives are less convinced of global warming. More liberals are more convinced of it. And I don't know where we go from here. That's why we return to John Bailey, senior researcher for the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. It's good to have you with us, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. First of all, what is your reaction to the fact that the Nobel Peace Prize Committee has awarded its top award to Al Gore and the IPCC?
Well, first, I'd say that my money was on the monks in Burma.
Yeah.
And but hopefully, I guess, the award to Gore can signify the end of the first phase of the war on global warming, the phase where there's now broad scientific consensus that global warming is real and that we humans are to blame.
What do we make of those, I'll call them naysayers, but they're also scientific naysayers, who take shots at the science itself and work their way into peer-reviewed literature, which does, in fact, maybe take apart some of the postulates of the science that supports global warming and gives enough ammunition to the side which wishes it not true or that it's scientifically unsound, enough ammunition that it keeps the argument going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's disappointing. Been in energy policy work for the last 15 years, and throughout that entire time we've had these climate change skeptics raising their voices in the face of the IPCC, which has been around since 1988, composed of thousands of scientists and reviewers from around the world. And really, they're looking at, you know, as Al Gore's movie has shown us, thousands of peer-reviewed studies that are coming to a drastically different conclusion than the skeptics.
Why do you think that this has divided the country along political lines between conservatives and liberals?
Well, it's kind of a mystery to me. Conservatives, by the very nature of their name, they should be supportive of conserving energy, which is one of the primary solutions to global warming.
But it's also true that I like that play on words, mm-hmm. but I think it's a false presumption because that doesn't necessarily mean they are conservationists,
sure.
Even though that one would take that from their word. Conservatives have a tendency to be more inclined toward the status quo, as Blake would say, resisting change for change's sake.
It's true. In the case of global warming, the IPCC is recommending that we reduce our emissions by 80% by 2050.
And doesn't that feed the conservative side that is fearful that the real underlying agenda here is anti-capitalist, anti-industry, anti-economic growth?
No, I disagree with that.
No, I know you disagree with it, but doesn't it feed that?
Sure. That could be their argument. But as we know in Minnesota, we have great opportunities to address climate change and increase economic development in our rural areas by the development of renewable energy. And in our cities, by reducing our energy consumption, inherently you have more money to play with in your house or your business.
Tell me about local as opposed to global solutions.
Yeah, our work is focused on solving global warming from the bottom up, and ultimately it's gonna work that way just because of the fact that we people have to change our behaviors in order to solve this problem. And in Minnesota, for example, we have adopted renewable energy standards and conservation targets, but those in of themselves, and we've also adopted goals along the IPCC lines of reducing our greenhouse gas emissions, but those two policies that were enacted last year will not even begin to get Minnesota towards the targets that they say they want to meet. And so it really is going to be an interesting time in the next 10, 20 years on how people are going to be having to change their behaviors to use less energy.
John Bailey is a senior researcher with the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, and he's with us today because Al Gore and the IPCC have won the Nobel Peace Prize. And we're talking about whether the public is fully ready yet to understand what it will require to get us to a position where we're not polluting, we're not causing, if you choose to believe that, causing global warming, and that we're using energy more efficiently. There are those critics of this plan. You know, I'm not one of them, so I want you to understand that I'm playing the devil's advocate here. There are critics of efforts to use less energy, or to ask countries or peoples or populations to use less energy, particularly in developing nations where the use of energy to build economics is really the primary role that government can be in the lives of people, to help them improve their lives and reach some level of economic well-being so that they can begin thinking outside of themselves, begin thinking about the environment. There is a concern that this effort will force nations to stay in third world status.
Right. It's, you know, everybody wants to move forward, and you need energy to do it typically. But that doesn't necessarily preclude this economic development in these developing countries to be done through renewable energy technologies or the most efficient technologies that are out there. And governments can help those technologies to enter the marketplace in a much faster rate than they are now through incentives and research programs and the like.
Can things like Kyoto work when there are cutouts for developing countries, with China? China's economy and India's economy, and China soon to be set to take over as the chief CO2 provider to the atmosphere over the United States, and building a new coal-fired power plant every week over there.
Mm-hmm.
Can things like Kyoto, national accords, global accords like that work when there are cutouts for developing countries?
Well, I think ideally you'd want everybody on board, but, you know, we can't even say we're on board here in this country, much less China. And I think they can work if the United States takes some responsibility for producing many times more per capita emissions than many other countries, and we get on board. We can have a profound impact on those developing countries that are maybe sitting on the edge.
You know what I fear most, John, is that if we do not, if this is the game plan, if it is decided, you say we've won the first round of the battle in the global warming fight by this award, by the Nobel Committee, that if this country does not get on board, and the future does suggest that we're working toward a new energy-efficient economy, and we are looking at more alternative energy sources, that if we don't do this technologically and figure out how to make that happen, I'm certain China and India will. I'm certain they will figure it out. And if they figure it out, it reverses the economic power the United States has held as a technological leader. People will have to go to China and India to buy this technology and not come to us. We'll be a follower, not a leader.
I would tend to agree with you, Don, and I think we can already, that's already shown. I believe China's fuel economy standard for their vehicles is already higher than ours in the U.S.
Right. There are many U.S. cars couldn't even be sold in China because they don't meet government guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Things like this are going to be discussed. You and I will be talking about this for a long time to come, but hope that that the award today to the IPCC and to Al Gore convinces some people that maybe the future does suggest that our obligations to the planet go beyond getting a brand new car every year and using fuel without concern for the future generations.
Indeed.
Thank you very much for being with us, John.
Thank you.
You bet. John Bailey from the Institute for Local Self-Reliance on Al Gore's and the IPCC's award of the Nobel Peace Prize for their work on global warming, right here on WCCO. Today's 830.